two-headed boy. Put on Sunday shoes and dance round the room to accordion keys with the needle that sings in your heart. Catching signals that sound in the dark. Catching signals that sound in the dark. We will take off our clothes and they'll be placing fingers through the notches in your spine. And when all is breaking, everything that you could keep aside. Now your eyes ain't moving now, they just lay there in. Just for two in the parlor with a moon across her face. And through the music he sweetly displays.
Maybe they started here.
Silver speakers that sparkle all day. Made for his lover who's floating and choking with her hands across her face. Placing fingers through the notches in your spine. And when all is breaking, everything that you could keep aside. Now your eyes ain't moving now, they just lay there in their palm. Two-headed boy, there's no reason to grieve. The world that you need is wrapped in gold, silver sleeves left beneath Christmas trees in the snow. And I will take you and leave you alone, watching spirals of white softly flow over your eyelids, and all you did will wait until the point when you let go.
So the doctor says, what seems to be the problem? And the duck says, there's a guy attached to my ass.
Hey, yeah, so you guys just got a rare glimpse into what goes on before the mics get turned on the show. It's usually us discussing Lunchables packaging.
Right. I think all they heard was the discussion about where we should start with questions. I'm glad they didn't hear that shit that you said about the gun run, though.
Yeah, no, I know.
He's very fragile.
Yeah.
You this is by the way, is the Jick and Skullhead show, and I'm Mr. Skullhead, and that's Jick. And
I'm Jick.
We're together again for the first time.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I was going to play either The Boys Are Back in Town or Reunited and It Feels So Good, but I don't have either of those songs in my music collection.
I seriously think that The Boys Are Back in Town is probably my least favorite song of every song that exists. It's really hard for me to imagine, like, anything that I would rather listen to The Boys Are Back in Town than it.
Huh. How about the Rocky Horror Picture Show soundtrack?
You know, I think that I would rather listen to the Rocky Horror Picture Show soundtrack than The Boys Are Back in Town.
I don't get that, because it's catchy, and so that means that it has to be good. Because right now, in the back of your mind, you're going, "The boys are back in town."
No, no, no. Back in my head, I'm going, remember that time when that girl hit us and we were all fuck you? That's how that song goes.
Oh.
Remember that time.
I would have to say that I don't think I've ever heard anything except half of the chorus to that song. Like, my exposure to it has been only in movie trailers.
Right.
So maybe it is really irritating if you hear the whole thing.
It's like, remember that time at Johnny's place when that chick slapped Johnny's face? Yeah, we were all about the place. If that chick don't want to know, forget her. It's like, yeah, that's a great story. I can see why you're so happy to be back in town with the boys.
So it's just, it's the same level of storytelling as Nickelback's "Look at this photograph, every time I do it makes me laugh. How did our eyes get so red, and what the hell is that on Joey's head?"
Huh. Somebody should tell him it's like their eyes aren't really that red,
right.
You know, that's just bad lighting conditions or...
Well, this is what happens when Cro-Magnons make music. They have entire songs about what the fuck is this hot stuff that happened when I was rubbing these two sticks together. And
right.
If only I had a way to carry these goods with something that's a wheel that hasn't been invented yet.
I see.
Couldn't get there.
Yeah.
Grimdall asks if... the worms should be dropping spices. I kind of thought they should.
Yeah, they should. We had another idea for a kind of a rare drop for them that was supposed to be pretty interesting. But I don't know. It just didn't end up happening. That's on the list of stuff to do. Hey, so was the new food and booze drops in the Haunted Kitchen, and those finally happened. So it seems like I'm on this schedule where I just do a bunch of work on Monday, and then. And then the rest of the time I'm just kind of floundering and trying to catch up on stuff and, like, you know, doing the, like, running the business stuff and then moving.
Yeah.
The rest of the week. Still trying to get unpacked and set up. It has been 3 days since my last confession. And what I had to confess was I saw a scorpion today. It has been 3 days since I saw a scorpion at the house. And that's nice.
Would you say the winds of change?
I would say so.
Started
I would
blowing.
Say they've blown through, and all of the tiny baby scorpions have curled up and rolled away. I think that the scorpions are actually terrified of, or maybe they just got so disgusted. As I will occasionally do when I have absolutely no other options, I went to Walmart and I purchased something at Walmart. And I think that doing that just caused the scorpions to just become disgusted with me and they fled the house. The wife found one like 3/4 of the way up the stairs, like just suspended like Stallone cliffhanger, like from on one of the vertical surfaces of the stairs, and like, ah, fuck, you know. I was like, well, you know, honey, we don't need to be that scared of the scorpions because, like, we've only ever seen them at night. We've only ever seen them downstairs, you know, and I'm like, you know, I don't think they can make it up here. And then she found one 3/4 of the way up, and she was kind of kidding. She was like, come look at this orange thing on the stairs and tell me if it's a scorpion. And I looked at him like, fuck, it is a scorpion. That's weird. So then, like, you know, get all freaked out. It's like 3 in the morning. And like, well, we're going to go buy a black light so that we can check upstairs before we go to sleep to make sure that there aren't scorpions, because scorpions apparently glow under a black light. But
that is something that I really want to see.
Me too. And it's like, when I don't want to see a scorpion, they're fucking all over the place. And when I do, they're all in hiding. Blacklight scorpion. He typed into GIS.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Apparently it's pretty cool.
I'll be goddamned. There's a guy with a scorpion in his mouth.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
So you're going to see the thing that I do that annoys the crap out of Jess when we do these shows together.
What's that?
Which is every time somebody sends a link, I click on it.
Click on it and cover up the radio bugbear questions.
And every time I think of something to Google image search or something, I do.
No,
but I'll use
that's,
the other monitor for
that's
that.
That's totally fine. Yeah, you with your fancy 2-monitor setup. Enter the Wumpa says, "So I just deleted over 6 gigs of my pictures, music, and other documents. A moment of silence for my dead files." You should be more like Jesus. Jesus saves.
Moses backs up.
And it goes beep, beep, right. Beep.
Moses is a fine motherfucker when he backs that ass up. Did you accidentally delete these files into the Wumpus? Or are you just like, mourn for this shit that I got rid of for a good reason?
Presiding at the funerals of your murder victims. I have been super careful for, like, since I basically came to the realization that my entire life's work is just the contents of various hard drives, I've been pretty careful about backing everything up. Here's what I do, in case you're wondering. You buy a network hard drive, right? And they're like a couple $100 for a network hard drive, and then you can like reformat your computer and not lose all your files, right? So it's not nearly as much of a pain in the ass to switch computers. You know, when you get a new computer or whatever, you get the network hard drive, get it hooked up, you know, because you're pretty much. I feel like pretty much everybody has a wireless router and wireless cards now. Like I think that
right.
The number of people with broadband without wireless, you know, it's not a big deal. So you can just
homeless
put the thing
people.
There next to them. Homeless people need.
Have them.
Homeless people have more wireless because they can't have any wires. Their only right. option is wireless because they can't afford wires. So yeah, then you get the network drive, and then every couple of years buy a new network drive and put the old one in storage after copying all the stuff off of it. My last one it kept failing as I was copying all of the stuff from the old one to the new one.
Huh.
But it was also, it looked like somebody spilled soda all over it. It was beat to shit.
Huh.
And I'm not entirely sure how that happens.
That's weird, because there was this one night that I was really drunk, and I kind of blacked out, and I dreamt that I was spilling soda on somebody's network drive.
Weird.
Yeah.
I wonder if those two things are connected in any way.
I'm tempted to just get a 300 gig external hard drive is not that expensive now. It's like $120.
Yeah.
And you can get it to automatically back up, and all of my shit is less than 80 gigs.
Right.
So then I could still use it for storage, but also have it back up.
I figured out that the computer that I've been using at home for 2 years, I had no idea that this was the case, but it has a fucking 60 gig hard drive in it. Like,
that's
what is that
just,
nonsense?
That's Bush League is what that
I
is.
I know, man. when I was downloading my 45 gig file off of BitTorrent, I had to delete everything off of my computer.
That's what I've been doing with the laptop. It has 20 gigs, and I had to almost strip it to download something.
It's gotten to the point where every time I install a game on it, like, of the games that are just sitting there on my shelf, it's not like you're buying games. Like, every time I install a game, I have to uninstall some other game, which is why I keep reinstalling games that are already on
right.
my shelf. But, yeah. I see that you have a thumb drive on the desk here.
That's actually a jump drive.
Oh, I see. An attaché from Pony.
It's the calendar contest winners.
Ooh.
In a format that Riff can take and lay out, and he's actually doing that right now.
Actually, some of them are insufficiently large.
Giving you a list. Are they? Okay, well, I have maybe larger ones. But, yeah, the KOL fan art calendar is happening and will probably be ready by con.
All right.
So, that's cool.
LOTE says, hey, the Dirty Thieving Brigands should steal your meat when they beat you up. The Dirty Thieving Brigands should do a lot of stuff. I think the chief thing that they should do is be more interesting. I feel like we could write another couple of monsters with another sets of attacks texts.
Precious.
And that would relieve a little bit of the tedium in there. And you know, maybe we give them some drops. Maybe you can get a brigand outfit. Does the word brigandine mean anything?
Which allows you to visit Brigandoon.
Where's Brigandoon?
Oh, Brigandoon is the legendary town that disappears into the mist every 100 years in Ireland, and is a musical that was made in the 40s.
Disappears. When does it reappear? Does it appear for like a week and then disappear?
Yeah, it's there for like a couple of days.
I see.
Yeah,
and they presumably have some sort of party there.
Yeah. But for them, time never passes. Yeah, all that stuff.
Hmm.
And
people
sing and dance a lot in kind of a not very exciting way.
Yeah.
It's a very kind of boring early musical.
I see.
Which Vanna White played the lead in high school.
Huh.
That's a fact that you have to share with people because it just bumps one bit of useful information storage out of their brains.
Right. I mean, I guess that is probably the most interesting thing about the musical as you're describing it. Who were we talking about? We were talking about Vanna White the other night at the bar. And we were talking about Bob Barker being replaced by
Drew Carey.
I like Drew Carey.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if anything, I feel like the groan is like, you know, oh, that poor guy. You know, that's what his career is down to. But which I never actually believed that. I'm like, you know, I'm glad that Drew Carey is getting paid for some, you know, for something.
Right.
Because I like him a lot.
I would have rather seen like Peterman from Seinfeld, whatever his name is, or Biederman or whatever. John O'Hurley, just the guy with deep, weird voice, was up for that. And
I guess I really have probably only seen like six or eight episodes of Seinfeld. Who was he?
He was the boss where Elaine worked and kind of had the deep, sonorous voice. And he was on Dancing with the Stars, which I know you've been following.
Yeah.
Probably about as much as I have.
Been watching that.
But there were several people who were kind of in the same vein as Bob Barker, like old guy, white hair, really bright teeth, nice speaking voice, and just Drew Carey is not that.
Yeah.
The whole fake tan, semi-thinning,
attractively thinning hair kind of
thing.
Well,
I don't know if I find Bob Barker attractive, but I'm not as gay as you are.
No, I'm saying not thinning hair like that makes you look bad, but thinning hair that makes you look like Grand Moff Tarkin. Like that, the hairline that receded just enough to make you sort of hawk-like in appearance.
Right.
But in like an intimidating way, not in a like, look at that guy's giant nose way.
And if you have ever seen the Whose Line Is It Anyway from Britain, like that was kind of a cool show, this like British improv show. And it sucked when they brought it to the States pretty much because Drew Carey was the host.
Really?
He just did a... He didn't do as good of a job at it as the British guy did.
I mean, I never enjoyed it when I watched it with Drew. I mean, the Drew Carey show was just really, really good, is the thing.
Like, yeah.
I really enjoyed it on a lot of levels, and his book was really funny.
They should have got Ryan Stiles to host The Price is Right, if they were going to go for the Drew Carey show. You know, the
tall, like, yeah. Oswald, not the... No, I don't remember. I can never remember their names. Not the one that was in Office Space.
No, the one who was in Hot Shots.
Kind
of tall.
I don't really remember.
Yeah.
The tall guy, yeah.
But not the dark-haired.
Not the dark-haired.
The tall guy who's not Jeff Goldblum. There are only two...
There are only two tall guys?
In Hollywood.
Is Jeff Goldblum especially tall?
Yeah, he's a scarecrow.
Huh.
He's like... I think he is like 6'4". And he's watching you poop.
That's true. Still. Bob 221 says, any references to Mel Brooks movies? I'm sure there are some.
There's gotta be at least a Young Frankenstein in there.
Oh, I see you're looking at...
See, but I did it in the other window.
You did do it in the other window, but now I'm so fascinated by it that...
Yeah, we've got Young Frankenstein, Men in Tights, and Spaceballs references. And Boots, Scootin' Boogie from Brooks and Dunn, which came up in that search, which I would take no responsibility for whatsoever. That had to have been you.
Yeah, because you would never have written the Boot, Scootin' Boogie.
Well, it's because I wandered around and finally found somebody who had to be you.
I see. I was afraid that I had unplugged my mic there for a second because I smacked the cord. Not that it would matter. I think people who were expecting a rich information-filled show tonight are going to be a little disappointed, because the thing is, we actually haven't seen each other. This will be the first, like, sort of two-hour period that we've sat down and actually spoken since, I guess...
Thursday.
Since my birthday.
Since Thursday night, man.
Thursday night.
Did that mean nothing to you? We went to Pranksters after your show.
Right. Yeah, okay. Why didn't I remember that?
Because it did mean nothing to you.
How long were we there? Oh, right, okay.
You should move your mic a little closer to your face, though, if you can.
Okay, right. I guess, yeah, that wasn't like, I don't know, man. We weren't like talking. It wasn't just the two of us, and it wasn't just the two of us and our wives, which, under both circumstances, that was weird.
Right.
I, I brought my wife, thinking you were going to bring your wife. And then it was like...
And then we could swap.
No. None.
Then we could swap spit while our wives watched.
Yeah.
You gotta let me finish my sentences.
All right. Let's see. The Devirginizer says, can you explain a little bit about how the splashback damage on saw spells works? As an accordion thief, I just took 17 splashback on a spell which only did 16 damage to my enemy. It's not worth me even using this skill I permed if it's going to hurt me more than my opponent. And then he says, oops, sorry, got my numbers backwards. I took 16, enemy took 17. It's still not a spell I'll ever use outside of a saucer run again, which is a bit of a letdown. Okay. If you don't pile on a bunch of plus spell damage, you will never take any damage from using the spells. So it's basically impossible to hurt yourself with those by accident. Maybe you're so used to having all these buffs on that also give you some plus spell damage that you don't realize that you're actually cranking that up. The other thing is, the amount of damage that it does to you is dependent on how much you exceed the cap by, not how much damage the spell is doing to your opponent. So if you had something that gave you a plus a million spell damage, you know, it's going to do 999,900 and change damage to you and the normal amount of damage it would do to your opponent. So, I mean, you know, you say, I will never use those spells outside of a sorcerer run, and I think that's probably kind of okay. They are situationally useful, I would imagine. There are probably times in a non-sorcerer run when it's going to be handy to be able to do some quick damage that you know what element it is or whatever. But
I tend to use them a lot in Moxie runs, just because I can never hit a monster ever in Moxie runs. And as any class, fighting physical resistant monsters,
right, yeah,
just really handy to be able to reliably deal damage. I keep a couple of sorcerer spells on my perm list, but I'm a really bad Kingdom of Loathing player. So.
Yeah, but I mean, you're you know,
I'm Joe 8-pack.
Indeed. Quietus says, is there a reason why the Scroll of Drastic Healing doesn't tell you how many hit points it healed?
Because it heals all of them.
Does it?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I think the reason is that it wasn't until later that I started actually doing the calculations ahead of time on stuff that heals all of your hit points to tell you how much that it does. Do you have some Scrolls of Drastic Healing? Yep, you do. Have you taken any damage? It just says all your wounds are healed.
Which I think is accurate, since it does just bring it up. I think if your hit points are modified upward, it won't. It'll only heal to your actual hit points, not your buffed. But otherwise, all your wounds are healed is a pretty accurate description.
Let's see. Urshat says, can we have an adventure in the Dungeons of Doom where we fight our own ghost, and if we win, we get a cursed version of something that we have stored in hacks? I thought it might be a nice idea for Bad Moon. That's pretty clever, actually. Because that'll happen in that hack.
We could just take the entire item database and add cursed to the front of every single item.
Duplicate
and make
it. Yeah. And then pick one of those at random.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
They should all have different descriptions, though.
They should.
Than the ones that they do.
Yeah, we should get on that. Yeah, I mean, you know, it could be something where if you had, it could just assume that you have a seal clubbing club in Hex, which just always gives you a cursed seal clubbing club.
Right.
Let's see. Tommy Tom says, if you want to add miscellaneous ranged weapons, why not start with the miscellaneous launcher?
Oh.
miscellaneous launcher. And follow it up with the cheesecake shotgun. The cheesecake shotgun is not that funny.
What's the cheesecake shotgun?
Just this story I told on the...
Oh, right. I remember the cheesecake
shotgun. Did you just
trip
over your mouse cord?
A little bit.
Or did some ghost sneak in and want to click on something up at the top of the screen?
Feel free to scroll.
Oh, I'm gonna.
Oh, I thought you might.
Yeah, this is hard to read, this angle.
Then change the angle. I mean,
LOTE says, when fighting the ducks, it breathes a gout of flame onto your arse. Mmm, arse flambe. Why wasn't that fire damage, though? Oh, I don't know. Maybe we forgot to mark it hot.
Mark it like it's hot, sorry. I would swear that all of those ducks that do elemental damage, I marked all of them. But maybe not.
Lical Correr says, while on the topic of weapons, maybe two-handed weapons could just have a significantly higher power compared to one-handed weapons with the same equip requirement. It would seem to me that it should just take less muscle to hold a weapon that you hold in both hands. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that it's... You know, if I was designing a game now, I would probably say, yeah, you know, since they effectively take up two equipment slots, they could be more valuable. They could give you more bang for the buck. But I don't know that it's worth doing any real significant changes. I mean, the enchantments, I know for the like sort of run through of item enchantments that Hot Stuff did on NS13, he was sort of weighting two-handedness in terms of making the enchantments on two-handed stuff more favorable. But it wasn't. We didn't end up making that sort of significant a change to anything. K. Jacob So says, you were talking about pickpocket versus snipe on the radio show on 816. In Final Fantasy VII, there was a skill called steal, analogous to pickpocket, that could be upgraded to mug, where you stole an item and did damage. Maybe you could implement something like that. Huh. That's interesting. Although I can't think of a combination pickpocket and hitting them with a ranged weapon. Like, you could throw, like, a sticky boomerang.
That's, you could just assume
that's like a Dirty Sanchez. I gave your mom a sticky boomerang. Yeah.
You could just assume that every crossbow has a quiver full of green arrow-style arrows. So there's just the...
You shoot a suction cup arrow.
The money-grabbing arrow and... No, that would
so
be more...
With which you would fire the money shot.
Right. They have to be more specialized than just a suction cup. It has to be a magnet that... A meat magnet arrow or a... Yeah. I don't read comic books. Comics are for kids.
I don't read superhero comics.
I don't eat trick cereal.
Redpot says, why don't mimics scale to you? Fighting them at a low level almost ensures you of losing. Wow, it's almost as though they're difficult to fight at too low a level. I mean, why doesn't everything in the game scale to you? Because fighting every monster at too low of a level almost ensures you of losing. That's kind of how losing works.
So that's just somebody who wants their wand earlier, right?
Well, it's either... They might be talking about the mimics in the barrel full of barrels.
Oh, I see.
So it might be somebody who wants to farm booze before they're tough enough to, All right. What the hell? What is this Facebook bullshit?
It's just Facebook.
Yeah, but what...
Facebook.
I thought Facebook was for people who were trying to get into college. And... work at their uncle's car dealership.
No, Facebook is the less cluttered and spammy MySpace at this point.
Huh.
Hey, I'm an internet personality, okay? I need to be in contact with... I need to be there for the fans, and the fans are on MySpace, and the fans are on Facebook.
Right.
So I gotta maintain a presence for the company.
We should start MyFace, which combines all the best elements of Facebook and all the best elements of MySpace, and the logo or the, like the slogan could be, "Come on."
Senator Joe Biden entered the presidential race, and someone suggested that his slogan should be "His time."
Yeah. The Gun Run says, will we ever have a chat command line interface to the MMG? No. Hogulus suggests a hookshot made out of pixels, which did some sort of combination ranged weapon / steel attack.
That's pretty cool.
SnuffStell420 says, instead of a sniping option, you could have the first attack of a combat where one gets the jump on an enemy do more damage.
There should be a stealth mode where you have to just hold down the shift key every time you click the adventure button to try and sneak up on the enemy.
Right, right, right. Or we could actually just write a sort of new front end to the game where there were guards and hedge mazes that they moved around in and sort of like lit up cones where the guards could see.
Yeah. I keep having dreams where the user interface for KOL changes dramatically, and I'll always be kind of annoyed. There was one where it looked like entire virtual reality immersion kind of thing, and I was really annoyed with you because we lost all of the text. Which is like, God damn it, there are so many cool jokes that people aren't going to see now that, now that you've made this like all 3D full motion.
Well, no, we would make it all, you know, voice acting. There'd just be a guy sitting on your shoulder the entire time talking to you.
Hey, listen. You know, wisecracking sidekicks, that's what we really need in this
game.
It
is, yeah. Like the one that made Okami completely fucking unplayable.
I haven't tried that yet.
It should be a lot of fun. I think it'd be more fun on a computer. But I don't know that they've ever made a PC version of it. Landar the Second whining. The change for required drunkenness in Pirate's Cove means I spend 20 to 30 turns each run being bored in an area too low level for me. Did you mean for it to take a lot longer after the change? Yeah, I did, because I don't know what we're going to do with the pirates as it stands right now, but I know that it's probably going to take you at least 20 to 30 turns to get the dictionary, so I wanted to make it take a certain amount of time now so that we can fill that in with content later rather than suddenly adding time onto runs, you know, 6 months from now if that's how long it takes us to do it. I've got a handful of ideas. I ought to throw just kind of a generic sort of brainstorming thread into the wiki about what to do with the pirates, because yeah. We could work on it as a company again now that we're all actually in the same place for a significant period of time. Well, for a little while.
A couple of months, anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, it doesn't require us to all be in the same room.
That is true.
It just requires you to throw that thread in.
That's true.
Then we're on it like Blue Bonnet. It is weird to me, though, when people say, God, I have to spend 20 boring turns, which is basically saying, I have to click a mouse button 20 goddamn times to get this. How boring was it for me to sit there and click those 20 times? That's a minute and a half of my life I'll never get back. It's like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I can see why.
Poor word choice, I think.
Right. I can see why, you know, if you are at all concerned with sort of, you know, doing well at the game, that you don't want to spend turns in a place where you're just getting, you know, basically a bunch of stuff that we put in because we thought it was funny, not because it made any sort of sense from a gameplay perspective at all, right? I mean, and you know, the level that you are when you do it, it's if it was stuff, you know, if we could sort of do the same content with better rewards, then people wouldn't be that upset about it. But it's also that kind of click and pray thing, right? It's 20 turns where you're not making any choices. You're not doing really. You can't have it. You can't do anything that has any impact on it, and that frustrates people, you know, because that's more just like they're reading a really da-da book instead of playing a game, you know. And it's, you know, that's, I think that's where he's coming from when he says it's boring. But you know, it's also, yeah, that's not it doesn't make us happy when people come across like that. So
yeah, I wasn't making fun of his suggestion, just the. That I'm so bored for 20 turns. I thought it was amusing. Yeah. Anyway.
Frozen Flame had a long-ass KOL dream, which I'm gonna let Scully read that because it doesn't have any capitalization or punctuation.
Yeah, and I've read Ulysses, so I'm like certified. You know, like people have a CPR certification. I'm like, It's okay. The grammar sucks in this. I can read it. It goes like this. Hey, Jick and possibly Scully, last night I had my first sort of KOL-related dream, and I'm going to share it for no good reason other than everyone else seems to do it. For no good reason. In it, I got to go to Comic-Con to see you guys, because for some reason it was being held at a supermarket near my house, which is also in England. My mind scares even me. I was hanging out in some room with Scully, Zeno, Hot Stuff, and Riff, who were all drinking. Then a bunch of guys attacked you all. Riff was even shot, punching Scully out of the way, and as he died, he told me to find Jick, which I did. After finding Jick, I discovered that he had polymorphed into Ray Romano, and then we ran back to find that the others had all disappeared except for Scully, who was holding a lead pipe. You then proceeded to both assure me that this Tuesday you would release the irate Elvis because it'll be my birthday. Please roll a d20 against your gullibility score to see if you believe that last bit.
I believe that you said it.
I don't believe that that dream happened at all. Because I don't believe the Ray Romano thing. It's just too perfect.
Yeah.
With people making fun of your voice. See, I don't know. Like, I don't get that comparison because I don't want to punch you in the face every time that you speak, and I do want to punch Ray Romano in the face every time that he speaks.
I see.
And I also don't want to punch Ray Romano in the face every time you speak.
Okay.
So I don't think your voices are really that similar.
Mm. I don't know. I mean, it could be that the way that I sound in person is not the way that I sound on the radio.
Mm.
I mean, it doesn't sound like it to me, but then again, I'm listening from inside my own head.
Right. Actually, in person, he sounds a lot more like Shirley Bassey.
Who's Shirley Bassey?
The one who sang all of the James Bond theme songs.
I see.
Yeah. Like you don't know from pop culture. Yeah, and Diamonds Are Forever and Live and Let Die. Oh, wait, that was Axl Rose. I just want to see how many angry... Fuck you, that was Paul McCartney.
Nobody knows. These kids. They're all like, that Limp Bizkit song, Faith, and that Gnarls Barkley song. I don't even remember which song it is.
I didn't know Gnarls Barkley had a cover song.
Yeah, that's like that was their big hit last year. It was a cover of a Violent Femmes song that I can't think of the name of. Gone Daddy Gone.
Oh. I've only heard Crazy from...
I like that song a lot, actually. Crazy.
I'll have to show you the YouTube of people doing that on a theremin.
Of who?
A group of people performing Crazy on, like, drums, guitar, and theremin.
Oh, you said... I thought you said Bull, and I was like, well, Richard Mull from right. Night Court is playing that song on a theremin?
Just a Bull. Weird. Because it's the only instrument that doesn't really require you to have thumbs.
And then, later on, he blew up because it was abominable.
Ho-ho!
Yeah.
Blastodon says, what's your favorite Roger Klein and the Peacemakers song / album? I would say my favorite album is either Honky Tonk Union or No More Beautiful World. And my favorite song is still Better Beautiful Than Perfect.
My favorite Roger Klein and the Peacemakers is now album going is to still Fizzy Fuzzy Big and Buzzy.
I still think that you should take 3 hours and listen to The Bottle of Fresh Horses 3 times.
Okay.
And then you will like, not all of it, but at least a good 3/4 of it is every bit as good as The Bottle of Fresh Horses.
You mean...
Fizzy Fuzzy.
I'm embarrassed to say the name, Fizzy Fuzzy Big and Buzzy.
Right. It's kind of like when you want the Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity because it has all of the food that you want to eat, but you really don't want to say that.
I don't ever go there, though.
Yeah, because... Yeah, you better not go there.
Oh yes. Oh yes, I did. Are you drinking a Capri Sun?
Yeah, it came with the Lunchables.
The Lunchables.
I had no choice but to have. They didn't
I like Capri Sun.
This one's pretty foul.
Yeah, is it some sort of pineapple? It's tropical
bacon
fruit.
Flavored, of course.
Opening Capri Sun is not like defusing
a bomb.
You just
have to use
it. Have you ever defused a bomb, Rev?
Okay, it is what I imagined defusing a bomb.
So you take a sharp object and just jab it repeatedly at the bomb.
Remind me to leave if it's ever your job to defuse the bomb.
I can handle this. Does anyone have a knife?
Creeping Crud says, why is chewing gum on a string not hyphenated, but duck on a string is? Because duck on a string is like a single sort of concept. Chewing gum on a string is actually some chewing gum on a string that they were separate before. The duck on the string is like the sort of platonic ideal of the toy.
Mm-hmm. It's one thing.
Wow, Frozen Flame is...
Frozen Flame is the new Hogulus.
Pachinkoid says, "Hey, Jake, quick word, re-unwinnable state in level 12. Unwinnable how? If you smash your equipment, you do so purposefully, no one forces you, and as punishment, you must drop hardcore." That's kind of the way I felt, but then everybody was like, "No, you're a bad game designer." I'm like, all right, fine. Then I fixed it today.
It's impossible, I guess, for us to tell whether or not it would be completely obvious to someone that they should keep that equipment for that quest.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was pretty self-evident, but then I was in on the design of the quest some, so I knew that you were going to need it the entire way through.
Right. I mean, I guess, yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't have thought that it would be possible for somebody to sort of inadvertently do that. And you know, the thing that we did today, I think, was the right thing to do because it solves the problem. You know, somebody pointed out, like, you know, to what extent do we want KOL to be playable as a single-player game? Hmm. I mean, you know, to a large extent, I would say.
Right.
But, you know, I feel like situations where you're stuck, having ascended at least once after playing through the game to level 15, right? You, at that point, you know, you should understand that dropping the path is an option for a solution there, but you still have to go to the mall, so that's, yeah. Anyway, the desert adventure was appropriately punitive, I think.
Creeping Cred says, if you want to add a mid-game ranged weapon, make the Bone Rattle a power, a one-handed 30 to 40-ish power ranged weapon.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
Yeah. So I like the idea of the musical instruments being ranged weapons, although I do also like the idea of like the accordion not being a ranged weapon because you just kind of beat somebody with it.
Oh, but right.
I think it is a ranged weapon, though, because it's the sound that does the damage.
You could swing it by the straps.
Yeah.
That's ranged. If the sack of doorknobs is ranged.
Right. Well, this is what happens when somebody who's never played any games that make that distinction
right.
gets to ride a bunch of ranged weapons.
We could we could rotate out the some of that equipment. I still want to put the addle in
right.
in the armory and legery.
I actually did, though. Once we got the weapon texts, I was able to make it clear that you were pulling doorknobs out of right, the sack right. and throwing them.
Yeah.
And there were different kinds of doorknobs that did different damages. It was beautiful, really.
Neat.
Oh, yeah, like the cut glass one from Grandma's house and the heavy brass one. And they all had to rhyme with glass, though, so...
How many other kinds of doorknobs are there that rhyme with...
Set,
How many? There's the sort of L-shaped handle style doorknobs. Right. There's the one made out of boards that you nailed onto a door that didn't have a doorknob on it.
Right. You're out of doorknobs.
Doorknobs. Yeah.
Nova Knight 21. Says, have you ever considered making decks of KOL-themed playing cards or KOL chessboards to sell in the store? Chessboards, no.
Yeah, I don't like novelty chessboards.
Like, the first time that I saw one, I think I thought, wow, that's really cool. You can have Star Wars chess. That's great. And then just every property that had any kind of nerd appeal and plenty that didn't had their own custom chessboards, so it just got less and less interesting.
I mean, I'm kind of against fancy playing cards, too. Like,
yeah, I was going to follow up. The reason why we haven't done the playing card design is we have a design disagreement. Like,
I mean, I don't know, man. I hate it when I would go over to Boozer Bear's house. Hey, let's play poker. Oh, by the way, we're using these fucked up transparent cards that I just can't read any of the numbers or make out any of the symbols on. Because, admittedly, I am, you know, semi-colorblind I'm red-black colorblind. But the thing is, playing cards, the reason that 99% of the decks of playing cards in the world look exactly the same is because that is what it fucking makes sense for a deck of playing cards
right.
to look like.
But for the people who like collect different decks of playing cards.
Sure.
Like, I'm always a little disappointed when it's just the standard, completely the standard deck on the face, and they just have a custom back. Because that doesn't seem like it's very hard to do, and it just means that I have all these identical decks of cards as long as they're face up.
Right.
So, I kind of wanted to do, like, the incredibly dense meat gem for the diamonds, the pixelated heart for hearts,
sure,
the grave-robbing spade for spades, and
the seal clubbing club for clubs.
So it would take a second to figure it out, but
yeah,
you would be able to...
You'd know that they were different suits. The main thing is just being able to... With
them being red and black, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's also not something that's high on the merchandise queue, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
It would be kind of cool, but...
The chess set, no way.
Never.
I guess I don't like fancy custom chess sets for basically the same reason, which is that it's just impossible to play chess with them. You can't identify the pieces. Are you searching for NASCAR chess set?
I'm just curious, and I will bet that there is one. Yeah, there is a NASCAR chess set.
Is the king the sort of corpse of Dale Earnhardt propped up on a checkered flag?
Yep, there's all the drivers on the chess set. Wow. Which is, I suppose that makes more sense than just having everything be a car.
Right. Or they could be cars with chess pieces painted on the roofs of them. Is it roofs or roofs?
It's roofs.
Roofs?
Yeah.
Huh.
Which is weird, because I think it is hooves.
Yeah.
And the plural of poof is
poofs.
Poofs. The ghosts disappeared with a series of poofs.
Hey, like oves. That was the plural of oaf. But, Inferno Hero says, how about something that tells us when we finish the Bounty Hunter quest for the day when we get the final item?
The thing that will tell you that you finished the Bounty Hunter quest is going to your inventory and seeing that you have enough of them in your inventory, or going to the Bounty Hunter and getting the item.
That said, the one place that I would consider doing that is there, because it is sort of, you do have to go back to him, and it's like town, wrong side, Bounty Hunter, you know, before he'll tell you. Like, as much as I normally don't pay any attention to complaints like that, I can see how it would bother me if I didn't know how many I was supposed to get, and I would never remember. That's never the kind of thing that I would bother to, like, make little tick marks or whatever.
Right.
Because you're only ever on one bounty at a time, so it wouldn't be a big deal, I don't think, to just set a couple of extra flags and then have an extra little thing show up in the deal. Because it wouldn't actually have to hit inventory.
Yeah.
Because it's not... Yeah. Maybe one of these days. Excuse me. I'm not a heartburn lately. Redpot says, there should be a feature where you could comment on your own ascension log. Why is there such a huge RNG swing with the Hidden Temple? One run it took me only 5 turns, and this run it took me 30 plus. All right, remind me to go in and make it so the Hidden Temple takes 150 turns to unlock for every single player.
Right.
I do intend to evaluate that. So, yeah. Lord Derby says, you don't need a percentage next to your familiar in the terrarium. You can just look at which familiar has more kills, unless the percentages are also based on experience, in which case, I don't know. No, it should be counting exactly the same thing as the kills are counting. So, yeah, it's a good point. Will the Warrior says, when you equip chopsticks and a rice bowl at the same time, you should be able to do something special with them, shouldn't you? It's hard to master these chopsticks, you know.
Is it an empty rice bowl or a full rice bowl?
I don't know. I think it's empty. I think it's used for begging. You should also, when you equip chopsticks and an accordion at the same time, you should be able to play
chopsticks.
Unlock a MIDI file.
With chopsticks.
That just plays the entire time you're playing. Apparently you're supposed to play chopsticks, not with like two fingers, but with both of your hands turned sideways, chopping karate like at the keyboard. That's how the guy who wrote it intended it to be played.
Huh. So
which
is
weird.
He didn't write the left-hand part then?
No. There's a left-handed part.
I was taking piano lessons, there was like a fancy version of chopsticks that I learned to play, and it's
that's weird.
The left-hand part is just like doon 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 doon.
Maybe it was for two people sitting side by side. It's weird though that that's the song that like everyone can play on the piano, and it was written to be played in a manner that you don't play anything else on the piano.
Right. That I think that I learned that the thing where you just roll your fist across the black keys. That's a good song.
Yeah. Give me Heart and Soul any old day.
Yeah. I remember being especially pleased when I learned to play that without another person, because I didn't have any friends, but I still liked music.
Yeah. That never happens. Lonely people playing music.
Yeah.
No way.
Where does all that music come from, then? All the lonely people playing music. Where does it all come from?
I don't even know where it belongs.
Oh, listen to all the lonely people.
here's some more rope. have a little more rope.
Dark Chipmunk says, just want to say I love the level 11 and 12 quests. They're my favorite of all of them, as there is a lot to do, and by the time you're done, you're ready for more. Awesomeness. Thank you, Dark Chipmunk. Nilosia says, can the sword behind inappropriate prepositions work on non-combat adventures, too? There's not really any reason why it couldn't.
It never occurred to me that that sword did anything out of chat, because in chat is the only place I've noticed it.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it does. Every bit of fight text gets shuffled around too.
I wouldn't know, because I never equipped the filthy motherfucker.
I see. You just click on stuff. You don't bother reading anything anymore.
No, I would never equip that fucking sword, because it annoys me so much when people have it on in chat.
But it's great. It's made of win. Fred Levi says, my friend bought a Feelies pack. Very cool. But what's with that volcano island? Is it some kind of future level 14 quest? Will part of the quest involve riding a pirate ship for three adventures between the islands? You should ask Riff on Thursday. What's the deal with that?
Then you should ask him like this. What's the deal with the volcano island?
Then he says, as it turns out, I love the new sauce changes. My saucepan and spellbook let me always have burning soul for plenty of MP, and my sauce spheres keep me healthy. It's great! I take back any complaints about NS13. My typical slow starts were made even slower, but now it's starting to get lots of fun. Well, there you go.
It only took you a month.
Tripwood says, what do you think of this? Separating potions, combat items, and quest items into its own category. Miscellaneous is so huge, it deserves its own section. Something like consumables, equipment, miscellaneous, potions, combat items, quest items would be awesome. That'd be too wide.
Too wide for what purpose?
Too hot to hoot. Too wide to hide in between the scroll bars.
Oh, okay. You could do two rows.
He says the 17-alarm saucepan should be zappable into some kind of negative 17-alarm saucepan that's the exact same thing but boosts cold damage. Is like a chili popsicle, like a negative 4-alarm chili. I still wish that me and the pretentious artist had gone through with our plan of making the refried bean popsicles to sell on campus. I think it'd be good.
I think you're wrong.
Who says popsicles have to be sweet?
I do.
No. Okay.
Well, it was a simple question that you asked, and I answered it.
Are there any things that are frozen and not sweet? I guess if you eat, like, frozen vegetables just right out of the bag. Which, who doesn't do that?
A margarita with salt on the rim is kind of sweet and salty. I don't know. Frozen sausages.
Yeah.
Tasty. Now, I think that that the mind kind of links the cold, you know, like a popsicle with sweet. We did conceive of the beersicle in high school. And apparently, like, 2 years ago, somebody started actually producing them and selling them.
I saw some weird thing at Bed Bath and Body Works and Beyond.
Right.
It was these... I don't think that this would be good at all, but it was these little plastic tubes with some liquid in them and, like, gradations telling you how much booze to put in them, and you pour booze in and then put them in the freezer, and they become like they become like semi slushy margarita popsicles, which I don't think would be any good. I don't tend to go for sweet drinks.
I accidentally made a frozen can of Guinness, but that just kind of sucked because the Guinness doesn't get carbonated until you open it, pretty much. And
well, it doesn't ever get carbonated. It gets nitrogenated.
Nitrated. Yeah, and so that didn't happen when I opened it, so I just had this slushy, syrupy, I mean, boozy, sure, but
right.
It was awfully hard to get through it.
Yeah, I gotta imagine it would be. We should take a break.
Okay.
It's 6:58.
So the train conductor says 6:58, take a break?
Yes.
All right, we'll do that. We're on All Neutral Milk Hotel all the time, so here's Ghost.
What a beautiful face I have found in this place that is circling all around the sun. What a beautiful dream that could flash on the screen in a blink of an eye and be gone from me. Soft and sweet, let me hold it close and keep it here with me. And one day we will die and our ashes will fly from the aeroplane over the sea. But for now we are young, let us lay in the sun and count every beautiful thing we can see. Love to be in the arms of all I'm keeping here. There are lights in the clouds and his ghost all around. Hear a voice as it's rolling and ringing through me. Soft and sweet, how the notes all bend and reach above the tree.
That was The Aeroplane Over the Sea, favorite of KMLCon sing-alongs, and right-thinking people everywhere. And we're back.
Yeah, we are.
Back with not a bang, but more of a, yeah, here we are. Disco Drew says, I need to push a concept to you if you are on, otherwise I will try K-Mail. I think push a concept to you is going to enter my lexicon now. It's like, I really need to push a concept to you, man.
Do you think there'll be some synergy?
Probably. I could also just use that as more bathroom slang. It's like, I'll be back in a few minutes. I gotta push a concept.
Push a concept. I gotta drop some synergy off at the pool. I gotta drop some synergy off at the paradigm. Shift. Mm.
I gotta shift some paradigms.
I gotta go think outside the box. Matt G987 says, is there any way to retrieve a demon's name that you've received in an adventure but forgot? You can get the adventure again. Mm-hmm. I know that sucks, but it's just be careful. Vash Orion says, hey guys, I was really looking forward to NS13, but I haven't really played since about a week after it rolled. I want to like the new game, but I'm having trouble getting myself to sit down and play. I think my brain might have put KOL under the work category, which is bad. Is anything coming that might make me have fun playing again? I really want to enjoy the new content, which I haven't seen yet. Well,
One thing that might make you have fun playing is all of the new content that you haven't seen yet. You know,
if the reason that you've put KOL in the work category is that you're thinking, God, I have to learn all these new systems and I have to figure out these new strategies and that's just a pain in the ass, try doing, like, take a break from leaderboard runs or optimizing things and just try playing like a casual run. If you can't find something, buy it at the mall. Just go through and take like a walk through this stuff. Instead of getting upset that you can't run as fast as you used to, you'll just be enjoying the scenery. It's worth a shot.
GigaShadow555 said, I listen to Monday and Thursday shows on Friday, and I found myself talking like Jick for the rest of the day. Damn you, Jick, and your catchy voice. Mr. Skullhead's always had that problem. As soon as he got on the phone with me, he started talking like me.
I don't know why people make fun of me and talk like this when I don't talk like that anymore.
I don't.
So I used to hang out with Jake after school in high school, and like we'd go, you know, to the mall and listen to They Might Be Giants and not talk to girls, you know, all the things that nerds do. And I'd come home and my mom would say, "So what were you up to after school?" And I'd say, "Well, I think that I ought to tell you that you know," and she, "you were hanging out with Zach Johnson, weren't you?" Like, "Yeah." "Yeah, I was." And then there were times when she would say, "Well, what were you doing?" And I would say, "What is the deal with you asking?" She's like, "You were hanging out with Jerry Seinfeld, weren't you?" "Yeah, yeah, I was." "Well, Mom, I would have to say that I wasn't doing anything particularly exciting."
What were you hanging out with?
Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog that time?
See, as I was making that joke, I was trying desperately to think of another voice that I could kind of do.
Yeah, it sounded like, yeah, I was trying to think of something that kind of sounded like Kermit the Frog. You were hanging out with Morrissey. Missing No says, the elemental basement tests seem really unfair to non-mist classes. Even with 60% reduction to elemental damage, taking over 1,000 points of HP at level 56 is evil. Well,
evil like a fox.
You could try getting a 90% reduction to elemental damage using the things that are available to any class, which, you know, it's almost as though we thought of that ahead of time. We did. I mean, definitely the basement is unfairly sort of stacked for mist classes, and that's entirely true. Fernsworthy is a wizard. And, you know, that's kind of the deal with spellcasting classes, right, is that they're just way more powerful than everybody else at the high end. It's common RPG tropism. The Tropic of Cancer.
Right.
By Henry Rollins. Man, I saw Henry Rollins at Comic-Con.
Did you?
Yeah, he was just standing, he was signing some shit. There was a big line, but I got to see him without waiting in the line. I'm like, yep, there's Henry Rollins. He's a short dude.
Yeah, he definitely is.
He looks old, too. He's in pretty good shape, but he's old.
It's kind of weird.
Gray hair.
He looks and talks like somebody who did just vast amounts of drugs over the course of his career, but...
Isn't he like, straight edge?
Yeah. He's a fusilicore. He doesn't smoke, drink, or do drugs.
I see.
Here at Fusilicore, we're kind of a Boy Scout that way.
I don't understand people who don't drink. Nightmare, man. You can't trust him.
Yeah.
You know, he's a smart guy, he's a cool guy, he's definitely a good guy to have on your side when you're trying to accomplish something, but you just can't trust him. Dude doesn't drink.
No, I don't mind people who don't drink. I mind people who say, I've just never seen a reason to alter my perception of the world to have a good time. And it's like, well... To me, that's not saying that you're superior. That's saying you have a limited imagination, that you can't see how altering your perception of reality could be a very good time indeed.
Mm. I mean, I feel like a lot of people decide not to drink because of what happens to you at the sort of high end of alcohol consumption, which is you know, a level that I sort of try never to get to.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, I can imagine how somebody who wasn't nearly as high strung as I was would not welcome as a very convenient way to sort of calm down without having to actually calm down that alcohol affords. But, you know.
Well, in high school, the crowd that I ran with didn't drink because we put that in the category of the things that jocks did.
Right.
Like, they go to keg parties, they drink beer, they get hammered. We don't want to be like them, so we're not going to drink.
Right.
But, you know, after I got out of high school, it was just like, well, many people drink, and for many different reasons, and it does tend to spice up a party a little bit.
I kind of got away from that. I mean, my dad drank pretty much the way that I do, and you know, so I was like, okay, I know that it's not, like, just something that assholes do. Mm-hmm. I was really down on smoking cigarettes, though.
Yeah, me too.
And
until I started.
Yeah, you for a long, long time after I started smoking. You were
like, God, what are you smoking for? And you were like, it's the best thing ever.
It's great. Seriously, this is awesome. How come nobody ever told me how awesome this was?
I still maintain that in the transmetropolitan future, you know, when there's a pill that you can take that just makes it the health effects of smoking are completely mitigated, smoking would be awesome.
Yeah.
Or if there were something else that delivered an addictive chemical while occupying your hands and mouth.
Right. Like some sort of heroin-filled real doll. yeah, man. Smoking's awesome. I miss smoking. Yeah, and I bet you miss smoking too, because you still smoke those weird un-cigarette burning newspaper.
7-Up. It's
tubes.
The un-cigarette.
The Tort of Leany says, "Can September's item of the month be 10 filthy lucre? You know, in your heart of hearts, that this is a good idea."
Just the entire Mandalorian battle suit is what it should be.
Yes. Oh, that's not what people care about, though. People want the tome. I'm beginning to wonder how pissed off people would be if we introduced another item that basically duplicated the functionality of the snow cones. Hmm. Didn't stack.
Right.
But,
Should we wait another year?
Well, I mean, it would be...
Even if they don't stack, it's still twice as many rounds of that effect.
But it would... I mean, Riff says even if they didn't stack, it's still twice as many rounds of the effect, but I would figure out a way to mitigate that, like, snow cone pills that counted as snow cones or whatever. A gumball machine for your campsite that just doesn't work. When you use it, it is like you forget about snow cones because you're so excited about the gumballs.
But it doesn't work, you have to charge it with your MP.
A gumball machine with a lingual scanner that just checks to see if your tongue is a color before you...
Or if it has been earlier that day. Mm. I don't know. I mean, because, you know, when people talk... The thing is, that the powers that be versus elite players versus whatever thread that's 9 million pages long. I mean, people talk about how annoying it is. Oh my God, you're forcing us to spend 200 days playing this boring ass game that we hate in order to be good at playing the game the way that we want to. And there's all these, like, you know, in order to become better at baseball, you got to spend a year playing chess kind of thing. And I, you know, I don't really agree with any of the points that are being made in there, because it was the number of turns that it takes to get a lucre was sort of chosen with you can still ascend relatively quickly and still do this, right? You know, so it's not, you don't have to stop speed ascending to collect lucre. You can get a lucre every day, and you can ascend one day slower than you would be able to if you weren't getting the lucre, probably. In softcore, at least. You know, and, you know, for people to say, like, but I like playing the game in hardcore, and you can't effectively do this while you're playing in hardcore, you know, sorry. They make that argument that, and I understand this, and I know that this is something that we have to take into account from a design perspective. If we put in something that is going to shave turns off of a run, it becomes required for competitive players.
Right.
And, you know, that's the way that it's going to be. And the thing is, what we need to do is we need to work against the competitive players, try to make the game as boring as possible by saying, hey, competitive players, how about we put in a mechanism that makes you go to a bunch of different zones that you wouldn't otherwise go to? You know, that's us working against that optimization vibe in a way that actually sort of gets our vision out there, right? So the one point that gets brought up in that thread, though, that I do agree with, is that the barrier to entry is more influenced by stuff like the Snow Cone Tome. Stuff like, and apparently the March Hare is just like this total must-have in competitive play now, which I don't even remember exactly what it does. I remember it was somewhat of an out of ideas familiar, though, and it was like a temporary riftlet kind of thing, or it was charges up and give you extra turns, and it's also it keeps you from getting beaten up. But is it also a volleyball? It has to be in order for it to be important to competitive play, right? So
no, it's a leprechaun.
Oh, really?
It's a leprechaun that gives you that gives you adventures and keeps you from getting beaten up.
Huh. The extra adventures must be a big deal then. Anyway. I thought that was kind of strange that NS13 has made that into this like essential thing that nobody really talked about before. But basically, yeah, the sort of barrier to entry on competitive play is now old Mr. Store items. And part of that is because, you know, sort of in order for us to stay afloat, we need to make sure that Mr. Store items are useful to people who really care about playing the game. Right. Yeah. So they have to be useful in an Ascension context. I wonder what would happen. I mean, we've never done the thing that I kept saying that we'll eventually do, which is to repeat a Mr. Store item in a technical sense, but not in a content sense. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, we've never done it. And I've always been a little bit afraid to do it, because I'm afraid that it will, like, you know, sort of diminish the experience for people who've been around and been supporting us for a long time by sort of, you know, not like deprecating what they have, but I guess the fact that people don't get pissed off every October when we replace the bitten and whatever. I mean, maybe that is a sign that people will be okay with that. But it's also, I mean, something that people are selling for hundreds of millions of meat in the mall. I can see how it'd be kind of annoying if you could suddenly get the same thing functionally. I wonder what would happen if we just sold, you know, some item that gave you the snow cone skill or gave you the effects of snow cones did not stack with snow cones, like something such that there was no advantage to having both. You know, I wonder, even though
the Cheshire Bitten is functionally identical to the Nervous Ticker, whichever one of them it is, it still has value in the mall because you can't. There aren't any new ones being made.
Right.
So I don't think we would kill the market for snow cone tomes. But I think the main thing that we said we never wanted to do was to make a Mr. Store item that was exactly like this other Mr. Store item, only better.
Right.
And I think we've pretty steadily avoided doing that, except for, you know, the Crimbo Elfling and the Green Pixie, apparently. But
yeah, but I mean, we had already, the Crimbo Elfling was already, I mean, even the Elemental Fairies that came out after Ascension sort of deprecated the Crimbo Elfling. Like the, and the Crimbo Elfling was also like our second item of the month, right? No, it was the third one. Mm-hmm. It was the Dark Jill, then the Hand Turkey, and then the Crimbo Elfling. So I mean, I don't know that those really count, just because we are like, you know, we were not anywhere near as good at designing items of the month then. It's
plus, there weren't a lot of people who were using the Crimbo Elfling who were really pissed off that, you know,
that's true.
They weren't as attached to it. Hugula says the March Hare is, on any given fight, either a fairy, a volleyball, a ghoul, or a leprechaun randomly. I see. So the way that the haiku that some guy wrote is kind of misleading.
One extra adventure at rollover for every 15 adventures spent with it at your side, 12 with its equipment. So, huh. Yeah.
And it prevents you from getting beaten up. That is the best thing ever.
That's pretty nice.
Everyone
familiar.
Should have one of those. We always thought that the randomness would make it so that people didn't want it as much.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Boozer always swore by the, the personal rain cloud.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, he was never really a speed guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what would be interesting is if we... if we came up with enough content, if we came up with enough stuff for people to do at high levels, and, you know, Hot Stuff kind of pointed out that we can do all kinds of ridiculous shit that doesn't really affect the Ascension game by, like, you know, oh, here's a really powerful item that you have to be level 15 to equip,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's, so it's just never going to matter in the context of you know, it's not going to break the game in terms of, like, speed. But if we had stuff to do other than ascending, if we had stuff to do that, like, sort of rewarded power leveling or whatever.
Right.
You know, if we had just, you know, sort of multiple ways to play the game. The thing with power leveling is it's hard to write content for it because it's like, oh, you know, you write a bunch of stuff that you can do at level 30, but then it's trivial at level 40
mm-hmm.
or whatever. But,
I mean, the easy way to do that is to just keep... is to have everything scale.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, you know... yeah. The, it would be neat if there were enough people who were doing... if there were enough people who were playing the game seriously and not just ascending over and over again, that we could do an item of the month that just was useless for Ascension.
Right.
And still have it actually be something that people would care about. I mean, I guess arguably the, McPhee's Grimoire.
Right.
You know.
Completely useless.
There was some bad. There was some bad blood about that, and you know, we've been careful to make it only useful in terms of, you know, sort of collecting stuff or whatever. And it, you know, it did well. It did better than it would have, I think, if people had expected it to be in the store the entire month. But yeah, I don't know. I was very, very nervous about capitalizing on people's expectations about us doing the same thing on the first. April or on the second April Fool's Day that we did on the first one, the Mr. Store was in there, and so it was.
But you know, that sold well throughout the month when it became apparent that, I mean, the second or third day it was apparent that we hadn't just forgotten to take it out.
Yeah.
Hogulus does point out that you would kill the market for snow cone tomes by that you could kill the market for snow cone tomes a lot more than the market for, say, a Cheshire Bitten, because there's no way to publicly display that you've used a snow cone tome. Like, you can have a Cheshire Bitten in your terrarium to show off, but the snow cone tome, once you use it, it's not really a collector's item.
Right.
So I can kind of see that. What gets me, though, is people complained about the candy hearts because they felt like that was a little too close to the snow cone, even though those effects did slightly different things.
Right. It's the same kind of deal, I guess, you know. I mean, I suppose we could do a familiar that was, you know, the smiling snow cone jerk who, you know, would give you snow cones if you... if you hadn't already summoned some, and would give them to you fairly regularly, and I wonder how people would feel about that.
Hmm.
You know, we introduce you know a new item of the month that, you know, I guess the question is, does it solve the snow cone iniquity for competitive play? Which I don't think it does.
No, because it would still be a suboptimal familiar.
Unless it was as good as whatever other familiar in its own right is the best familiar to use at any given point. I could see how it would be pretty easy to just replicate the Pygmy Bugbear Shaman.
Hmm.
You know, we're not out of ideas yet on how to do, you know, combination volleyballs, fairies with some sort of cost associated with them. I think that the thing that you have to feed... Once that's worked out mechanically, that's the kind of thing that I would want to spend. I would want to have that done for a week or two.
Yeah.
For Dev to mess with before it went out. But you know, I don't know. I'm kind of curious as to how people would feel about it, because you skate a line there, because somebody points out in that thread, like, the thing that makes MMOs, MMOs is that you get better the longer you've been around and the more stuff you've done, right? Like, that's what makes you want to play it, is the fact that you are more powerful today than you were yesterday. And that also kind of starts creating situations like this, you know? I don't think that it was made any worse by NS13. I think that people who are pissed off about the sort of barrier to entry / oldie versus newbie iniquity now are sort of ignoring the fact that it was already there and it was just as bad as it is now.
But at the same time, it's not as bad as in other games where there's not really a cap on your power. You know, like, a game where you just continue to move up and up and up and up in level is different in many ways from a game where you get to level 13 and start over.
Right.
So, I don't know. But I also feel like the people who are on the leaderboard push bleeding edge kind of stuff, I don't know how I feel about them. I mean, how many of them are there? How serious of a problem is this really? If you come into this game right now and you want to top the leaderboards, I think that you still can.
Well, I mean, but their argument is you can if you farm meat for a year, which is maybe not what you want to do. You can if you donate a couple $100.
Right.
You know, and that's, I don't know.
But is there such a limited... Are the ways to get ahead so limited that you have to have the tome? Because if it is, then the way to solve that is to have some things that you can adjust in different ways than the tome allows you to.
Well, right, but it's just the problem is, you know, you always... So any new tool that we create, somebody who has the tome and that tool is going to be better off than somebody who just has that tool, you know. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that... I mean, people would probably look at it and say the Snow Cone Tome was a mistake. I don't know that that's true. I don't know that I believe that it was a mistake. I think that it has created an interesting sort of challenge for us moving forward in the future. I mean, and the kind of people who get pissed off about that are, you know, maybe they're the kind of people who are going to get pissed off about anything, right? I mean, there was a marginal uproar about the candy hearts, you know. There's a marginal uproar about everything that we do. Some things we do, there's a large uproar, you know. NS13, there was more than just a marginal uproar.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I don't know if it went that far beyond the margin. Maybe it was, like, to the first tab of an uproar?
Right. Inferno Hero says, "Hey guys, I've looked at Bad Moon leaderboards, and I've noticed that the shortest runs for muscle classes are 15 to 17 days, while missed classes are 20 to 18. I think that what makes Saucerers and Pastamancers so awesome normally is their high MP to support their other skills, which is why their runs are going more slowly now. I also apologize for using the wrong form of there and there. I think that it's still too early to tell on Bad Moon, so we're... I like Zeno's sort of thinking, which is, you know, we wait until after KOLCon, and there will be a few hundred more runs for data.
Ashlon's baby is coming out on Thursday. Not Ashlon's baby, really, more his wife's baby that he donated sperm to.
I see.
And Ashlon himself is not pregnant.
Why did his wife's baby want sperm?
I don't know.
What is his wife's baby planning?
I read... over our vacation, I read Cory Doctorow's short story collection.
Oh, yeah?
Which was incredibly good, but one of these stories was about a cisadmin who named his baby Beta when it was in the womb and in 2.0 when it was born. It didn't actually name him, but, you know.
Right.
Was thinking about 2.0 as he watched the internet crash and the world come to an end. That was surprisingly good, actually. I'm glad that guy likes our game. Maybe that should just be our answer to everything. It's like, Cory Doctorow and MC Frontalot don't seem to have a problem with it.
I don't know. Neither of them have really played since NS13.
That's true. Front's been around. Yeah. But you know where Front's going to be in a couple of weeks.
I do. That's awesome that... that we're basically putting on the same show that Penny Arcade did the first year of PAX.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, I'm off to PAX on Thursday.
Oh.
The Aaron from the Mini Bosses, who's just a good dude, has gotten us like passes that let us into stuff without having to wait in line for tickets or whatever.
Wow.
And yeah, so that'll basically make it so I will go to PAX when there's stuff going on that I want to see, look around a little bit, start getting anxious, and go back to the hotel room.
Right. The funny thing is we thought that the passes we bought the last time we went, which I guess was 2 years ago, did allow us to jump all of the lines. And apparently they did, except nobody who was in charge of the lines knew that.
Right.
And they were supposed to, but... And I would have liked to have gone, but sandwiched in between all of the traveling, it's probably better to not.
Yeah, it was kind of... It was just one of those things where, like, my wife asked me a couple months ago, like, hey, are we going to PAX? I'm like, sure. And then did it, and then she got the tickets, which turns out didn't need. Aaron from the Mini Bosses, good dude, hooked us up. Mini Bosses also playing at KOL Con.
Yeah, I should really do some homework. Just pull out the 8-bit and play a bunch of games so that I'll be in the full spirit. I listened to some Necrogoblicon, which is the other group that's going to be playing, and
mm-hmm.
they're fun. I don't know if it's definitely not going to be everyone's cup of meat.
But I
enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah, I feel like I would enjoy listening to it a lot more if I had a lyric sheet next to me, but the parts that I do sort of understand are always funny.
It sounded a lot like most death metal, which is just... It could have been an Elvish.
Goblin Island, the place where goblins were. Tim is just a real solid guy. The guy who... He's the person that I know who's in that band. I don't know if it's like his project. I kind of think it is.
Do they perform in costume or anything?
I don't know.
Huh.
I mean, the thing is, they didn't... It wasn't even a real band. Like, the people who were in it were in bands, and they, like... I'm pretty sure that Tim just, like, put a couple songs together and put them up on made a MySpace page for this fake band, and then it got so much more popular than any of their real bands that they decided to become it. That was the impression that I got, at least. Yeah. Wait, I don't know if you met Tim. He was at Comic-Con.
Huh. I didn't meet anyone at Comic-Con. Every time I came by the booth, people would be like... Dude, Will Wheaton and Cory Doctorow and a naked chick made out of bacon just dropped by.
Right. Yeah, and that was weird, because Will Wheaton was all like, you want to see a dead body? And Cory Doctorow was like, is there some fucking copyright dispute about it? And then the naked chick made out of bacon was all like, sizzle. Yeah, I didn't get to see Will Wheaton. And, you know, I like Will Wheaton, but, like, you know, one time I looked at Will Wheaton. I don't feel any special kinship with Henry Rollins, having, you know, been somewhere where there was no one in between the two of us.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen all at all.
You have a different take. You know, like, people who... When I meet people who do creative stuff that I like, I enjoy going up and telling them I like your stuff and shaking their hand and getting some signed, and that's not really something that you do.
Yeah. I got kind of fanboy on Ben Templesmith, I guess, but like...
Yeah, like most of the time you say, I don't think I really have anything to say to that guy, so... Like,
yeah, I mean...
And all I have to say is what everybody else has said to that guy.
Right.
But I don't know. I like doing it. I like giving feedback. Because I like it when people come up to me and say, hey, I just saw your Playgirl spread, and my God, your cock is enormous. I'm like, thank you, but I hear that a lot.
Right, right. And I guess that, you know, ideally there would be something to say. You know, like, it was weird. Like, when we were at the sort of Firefly panel the first year, and Hot Stuff got up to get in line and ask a question, I was like, what did you go up there? Did you just go up there and be like, oh my God, I love all of your stuff so much? And he was like, no, he was just going to ask about, like, Cowboy Bebop. I was going to add something about Cowboy Bebop and the similarities and whether that was there or something new about it or whatever. Like, he actually had a question, which is a totally different tactic, right? Like, actually having something to say would seem, you know, it seems like it'd be ideal.
Yeah, it's just kind of a different category. There's the, like, go and say hi and shake hand and, like, oh, cool, I met Mike Nelson. That kicks ass. But then there's also can say something interesting to Mike Nelson. The next stage is, like, hanging out with the guy and actually talking to him like he's a person who doesn't do this thing that you really like.
Right.
And finding out if he's just a big old jerk in secret or if he's as cool as his product.
Right.
It could be a her, too. You know, I'm not saying. Sorry, guys. I mean, girls. I mean, people.
Hot Stuff was all disappointed with the Suicide Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
None of them killed themselves while he was there.
Yeah. Hey, he was upset that they were just kind of bimbos.
Well.
Yeah, I know.
Like what? You mean that they don't all really listen to Kings of Leon and
right.
And enjoy the works of William Gibson and
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like I kept making fun of him. You know, I can't masturbate to this. These girls only have undergraduate degrees. But you know, it didn't stop him from making fun of him. Didn't stop him from being disappointed. My bag of tricks is empty, as a therapist. Ah, that's
a Photoshop.
Photoshop, yeah. Did I ever show you that Photoshop where I pierced my eyeball?
Yeah, that was on Asymmetric.
Yeah,
back in the day.
Oh yeah. I that hurt when I did that. It wasn't a Photoshop. Space Wolf says, can the Brimstone Chicken Sandwich be as good as the Bad Moon Rewards? Pretty please? What?
People are complaining that one of the Bad Moon Rewards is significantly underpowered, I guess.
Oh, is it? I mean, I meant to make them all kind of equivalent. It's possible that I forgot one.
Hmm. Deadly Man says, what? With a new hilarious item. I don't know. With a new hilarious item. One of these days, I mean, if we haven't already passed the point where we're just not going to do anymore, we're getting dangerously close to that point, and we should put in another one.
Yeah.
Before we just kind of stop.
Glizbnut1 says, any chance of making clan buffs affordable? Any chance of not being in a clan with thousands of people in it?
Right.
I'd say those. Identical. The Deversionizer says, I thought I heard it explained that with the sauce spell splashbacks, you could not take any splashback if you didn't add any plus spell damage. Using no plus spell damage equipment at all, I was casting as an accordion thief for 23 damage and taking 5 damage of splashback each time. I do have intrinsic spiciness permed, so is perming a spell now hazardous? I was under the impression that your passives were not supposed to hurt you. Every time this has been reported, it has turned out that there has been something on you that was giving you some extra spell damage that you didn't know about. It was designed, the caps were specifically designed such that you would never get any splashback with just permed skills. And I think if there was really a way to do it, that it would have come up in a real and verifiable bug report. I seriously think you just have some effect on this giving you some extra spell damage. The Rum says, Jick, have you been doing something weird with the compression of the radio shows? They've doubled in file size recently, which means they take 3 hours to download. Yeah, I've just been uploading the streams directly off the 64K server because I've been doing them on that laptop and I don't have the conversion software on the laptop. I need to either find something free that will convert bitrate on files, or I need to just download all of the big ones, convert them on my computer that I already paid $9 for the converter and up them. Ooh, Fred Levi says Super Metroid on Virtual Console. Whee! Huh.
Yep. I've been playing Symphony of the Night on the PS3.
Riff says he's been playing Symphony of the Night on the PS3. I played a little bit of Symphony of the Night on the Xbox 360. I found out that the Xbox 360 doesn't have built-in wireless, which kind of bites a dick.
Yeah.
Because the cable in the new house is kind of messed up. Like, there's only one. When I got there, just nothing worked. They sent out a tech. Only one cable outlet had been actually hooked up by the guy who came to turn the cable on.
Huh.
And it was one that went into, like, this sort of downstairs, like, there's not a TV in there, nor would there ever. I can't imagine a situation in which somebody would put a TV in there. It's, like, just this room with a bunch of windows. That's still the only place that the cable modem will work. So it's like across the house from where the actual TV is.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't hooked up any of the consoles, but then the cable just stopped working. The internet's still working, but the cable television is out. So I don't know if something physical happened to the lines or whatever. Maybe a scorpion stung the cables in half. Or fucked the cables in half.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I was like, oh, you know, I'll play some Xbox. Ooh, I should download that Bioshock demo that everybody's been talking about. Like, it's super exciting. I guess Bioshock actually comes out pretty soon. Yeah. Which I need to buy for the PC. But last time I tried to buy a game for the PC, the only version I could find required Windows Vista. And
yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is that nonsense?
Like, the new Halo, I know, required Windows Vista.
Huh.
Which is, you know, they're vertically integrated company. They're
published
really
by Microsoft.
Smart about that.
I mean, I can see the games that tout interoperability with Xbox 3. Like, you can play the game against people who are playing on an Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that feature requiring Windows Vista, but to actually run the game in single-player mode requiring Windows Vista is a little shitty.
That's a little mercenary.
At some point, though, you know, you've got to design for state-of-the-art stuff and say, like, you know, people who are using things that are 2 years old just can't use this anymore, I guess. 2 years is a little slim.
Well, yeah. I'm not looking forward to the eventuality of having to fuck with Windows Vista.
Yeah, I just know nothing about it. I've been paying so little attention.
My dad got a laptop with it on, and just connecting to the wireless network at their house, which was a non-protected open network broadcasting its SSID, took 3 or 4 different screens, and, you know, like, in regular Windows, it'll say, there is a problem with this connection, right-click here to try and repair it.
Yeah.
And that is, like, 4 or 5 different windows. There's one to disable the connection, one to re-enable it, one to refresh the IP, and they're all different options on this menu, which is surprisingly well hidden. Mm-hmm. And it took me, who has been using this shit for a while, like 30 minutes to 45 minutes, just to reset the wireless connection. Like, if everything works like that, and every time you click on something, it says, it looks like someone's trying to disable your network adapter. Do you really want to do this?
Huh.
You go, yes. It looks like someone's trying to enable your network. I couldn't just say, it's me, I promise. I'm going to be doing a lot of this for the next hour, apparently. But it's just, it looks, the interface is kind of Mac-like, but then not intuitive and like a Mac, just...
I don't know that I would describe the Mac interface as particularly intuitive. It's great until something doesn't work.
Even less intuitive than the Mac. Even more determined to do everything for you. I don't know. It seems like the goal for Microsoft would just be a computer that wasn't connected to the internet and was encased in a cement block, for as concerned as they are about protecting you.
Yeah.
They are willing to break every single program you have to try and protect you from the evil ducks of the universe.
I guess it just kind of, you know, for how many years did I get along without having, like, a virus scanner, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for how long did I just absolutely reject the idea of a fucking firewall on your desktop computer, you know? There is so much... There's so much software being written that is, you know, just because it's being written right now, so new and so buggy, and there are so many people figuring out ways to, like, you know, destroy your data or steal your fucking credit card number because of, you know, some vulnerability in goddamn Winamp or whatever bullshit that shouldn't have any vulnerabilities at all.
That
is necessary evil. Now, the thing that bugs me about upgraded versions of Windows always is that there was a time when you would buy a new computer and it would be significantly faster than your old computer.
Mm-hmm.
And that just doesn't happen anymore. Like, for every increase in speed, there is a corresponding increase in sort of complexity in what's going on under the hood. So just like running a program, it shouldn't take 10 times as long as it did in 1996, but it does.
Well, I think part of it is just that Windows software is bloated. There is no reason why it should eat as much memory as it does.
You say that, but I mean, it's... I don't know.
Well, just the fact that there are other operating systems that work just fine that aren't as big and don't leave as big of a memory footprint. It's like Internet Explorer being 80 megabytes to download and taking up, you know, X amount of RAM.
Yeah, but it runs so much faster than Firefox.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, once it's open, it does not run any faster at all.
No, okay, once it's open, but it opens faster.
It opens faster because it's
already
eating
running.
Your memory for no particular reason. All right, look.
No, I know. I use
Firefox,
man. I
close a
Firefox
window. I open another one. It comes right up.
Sure, right.
Well, actually, my computer has a Trojan on it right
now.
No,
I know. There's some serious bullshit going on here. Like, you know, I hate that. That's why I hate fucking iTunes. I hate the fact that I click on the Radio KOL link when I'm doing the handoff on here, and it takes like a minute and a half for goddamn iTunes to come up.
Yeah.
Because you know what it's doing? It's fucking indexing 40 gigs of music, and I don't need a program that's indexing 40 gigs of fucking music. I need a program to open this goddamn radio stream, and that's why I like Winamp.
I like Winamp for listening to KOL radio, but for organizing 40 gigs of music, I much prefer the way iTunes does it and way Explorer does it.
You know what's good for organizing 40 gigs of music?
Not Windows Explorer.
Fucking Windows file system, yep.
No, because it puts it all in. If I want to be 8 clicks away from my music, because the order that I want to put them in is, you know, folder, artist, album, so that's 3 folders down.
Sure.
Or I can have them all with a database on top of them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why don't you just...
Right, you can have them all with a database on top of them that when you want to listen to a single song that's not in that library, you have to wait 45 minutes for your fucking database to run. If you're just always running iTunes, then sure.
It takes me 30 seconds to add a file to my iTunes library.
30 seconds is too fucking long to wait.
No, because
to
then it's
to
in my library forever.
Yeah, but what if it's just some random MP3 of... Okay.
Then I'll right-click it and go open in Winamp.
Ah, fine. There you go.
But, dude, I have played around with your music collection, and your music collection is goddamn unusable by anybody who's not you. Because it's a bunch of files that are track 1, track 2, track 3 stuck in folders
about?
That have the name of the artist on it. The last time I looked, you know, I copied like 3 or 4 albums that I wanted to listen to from you, and I have never listened to them because I don't know what they are, because once I took them out of your goddamn folders, they were just all these tracks with no names.
You know what? It's possible that CDs that I ripped 15 years ago, not 15 years ago, CDs that I ripped 10 years ago, before CDDB existed.
Right. It's also easier in iTunes to edit ID3 tags.
It takes like an hour to edit ID3. Part of the reason that I hate iTunes is probably because I almost exclusively use iTunes to manipulate files that are an hour and a half long MP3s.
Right.
Right? But... Seriously, every time I plug my goddamn iPod into my computer, it takes my on-the-go playlist, renames it on-the-go plus some number, and creates a new blank on-the-go playlist for me.
Yeah.
That's not what I wanted to do, right? What the fuck is that nonsense? I still have it, but I can't add anything to it. If I have, like... That's the thing. I don't use my iPod the way... Same time, normal people's iPods don't play for 20, 30 hours without needing their batteries recharged, right? So I do have some advantages there. But, like, seriously, editing the ID3 tags on, like, 10 files takes several minutes of just watching the percentage bar go across.
You're insane.
And that's fucking ridiculous. You say that, Hot Stuff said that, but I'm like, no, seriously, watch. And then I edited the ID3 tags on, like, 10 tracks, and it took
minutes.
I'm going to edit the ID3 tags on 12 files.
Okay.
I'm going to change the title of the album from Rocking the Suburbs to Rocking the Suburbs. Watch me edit ID3 tags.
Okay.
It's done.
If I did that,
right
it would have taken like 5 minutes.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. What's wrong with
no
every...
No wonder you
What
hate
is
iTunes.
Wrong with iTunes on every single computer that I've ever installed? You know, it is because the files that I'm editing the ID3 tags on are gigantic. And in order to edit your ID3 tags in iTunes, it has to rewrite the entire file. And that's fucked up. There's no reason for it to work that way. But it does. Are these a bunch of 2 hour long files?
Yeah.
The Your Mom Experience, huh?
Let's see how long it takes to edit those tags. Oh, it's, it's going. It's going. Oh, it's done.
Yeah.
Going.
Yeah.
So, we're coming up on 30 seconds.
Yeah, you know what? You can say that you can say that that's not annoying, but do fucking 10 albums in a row and you just have to wait like
30 seconds at a time.
Yes.
How long would it take you to individually open those in Winamp?
I don't fuck with ID3 tags. All they do is add a bunch of data onto your MP3s that some other bullshit is going to do some random bullshit with.
That is why
forever.
I never listened to the songs I got from your collection.
The only reason that you need those ID3 tags is so that you can use them in your bloated ass fucking Winamp.
So that I can use them in a database that makes it easy to tell what they are and easy to play with them and move them around and make playlists and iTunes works fine for everybody who's not you.
All right,
you're the bleeding edge speed ascender
of
iTunes.
I'm not the bleeding edge speed ascender.
I'm a guy about shit that doesn't.
I'm a guy who wants to download a goddamn MP3, double click on it, and listen to it sometime today. That's what I want. What I really want is I want the ability to just drag a bunch of MP3s onto an external hard drive. That external hard drive being my fucking iPod.
Right. And I would rather have a shitload. You know, I have all of my music on my iPod.
Right.
And I can't have all of that music on there without there being a good system for organizing it. And I've got one. It's right here. I can sit here and go, I just want to listen to stuff that I've never listened to before. Play count. I just want to listen to stuff that I haven't listened to in a while. Last played. Sorted. You know, I want to listen to stuff from... You know, that I just added.
Right.
Date added. I have all of these fields in it. How can you program this game and not see that a database is a good way to control data?
It's not because I'm bleeding edge. It's because I want to think of my MP3 collection as a rack with a bunch of CDs in it. Because I didn't look at my wall full of CDs and think, you know, okay, I want to listen to something that I haven't listened to in a long time, and I don't want to spend a minute just visually scanning all of these CDs and thinking, oh, that's something I would like to listen to right now.
Right.
Which is what I do, and which is much easier for me using my file system than it is a rack of physical CDs, because I go to that folder and there are all these subfolders that are the names of artists. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, I haven't listened to the Presidents of the United States of America in a long time. I'm going to go in there. Oh, there's only one album. I'll listen to that.
But on my iPod, I have a list of artists.
Sure.
And I go look at it, and I pull artists out of it. In my music folder, I do have a folder called iTunes and iTunes Music, and in that are all of the artists listed by artist, and inside that is a folder with the album name. So I could browse my music the same way you do, except I like having a database on top of it because it makes it easier to get at it.
And I mean, the problem that I have if you got a new computer,
the cheeseburger that I have,
right. If you got a new computer, it would take hours and hours and hours to set up iTunes because it would have to re-index all of your music and copy it all over to the hard drive that iTunes is running on. I don't have to do that. I could plug in a computer that I had never seen before, and in 5 seconds I could be listening to one of my MP3s by mapping the network drive and then running something in goddamn Winamp. Seriously. Like,
It's you know, it's like,
yeah, but I would rather spend the hour configuring iTunes, because then I would know that I have this full-featured program to play around with my music, sure, rather than Winamp. So I'd rather spend that time off the top.
Winamp has features.
It has. Winamp is fucking annoying.
It has a feature. It plays MP3s.
It does. iTunes does it, and it's better for large quantities of music, which is what I have. I Speculum is probably wondering why we're not hanging up.
Yeah, we should.
Because we're. This is one of the arguments in which we have worn a comfortable groove.
Right.
I do think the radio thing is annoying, and I should probably stop. I should probably change that file type so that .pls files just come up in Winamp.
Do that, please. You know, I could do this later when I'm actually uploading things. All right, good night, everybody.
Good night. And,
Daddy, please hear the song that I sing. In your heart there's a spark that just screams for a lover to bring the child to your chest who could lay while you sleep and love all you have left like your boy used to be long ago, wrapped in sheets warm and wet. Blister, please, with those wings in your spine. Like to be with a brother of mine who would love to find your tongue in his teeth and a struggle to find secret songs that you keep wrapped in boxes so tight, sounding lonely at night. In my dreams, you're alive and you're crying as your mouth moves and mine soft and sweet. Rings of flowers round your eyes and I love you for the rest of your life. Smile sweet to see, don't you take this from me. I'm still needing your face on my cheek. When we break, we will wait for our miracles. God is a place where some holy spectacle lies. When we break, we will wait for our don't hate.